This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Gays, you know, not a great idea to go to many of these countries as well. If you're going to go into the dark room and at a bar in Saudi Arabia or the UAE, you might be headed to a different type of dark room for the rest of your life. So that's something for you to consider.
Gays don't go anywhere except for Berlin and Tulum. I don't know if you'd heard.
Hey, everybody. You're Camcaster. You go first.
Fuck it. Keep it in. I'm Cameron.
And I'm Tim. And this is FYPod, where we don't know how to start the show 5 months in. We have some Gen Z shit to get to today. And I have a lot of thoughts on Gen Z young women. Cameron has thoughts on Gen Z young men, which is, I don't know, maybe backwards, but whatever. Before we do that, though, since we started here just about an hour ago, the Supreme Court has ruled that racial profiling is A-okay now. It's like the Family Guy meme with like, okay, not okay, where the three skin tones are white. Like, that is now the official law of the land. The Family Guy meme has become the law of the land, according to Brett Kavanaugh. If the cops want to pull somebody over because they look Mexican, and as long as they let them go as soon as they provide proof that they have papers, that's fine now, officially and finally. What do you think about that?
This feels like it's from the same genre as Laura Loomer tweeting out the number of people they were going to throw in alligator Alcatraz. And it wasn't the number of illegals in the country. It was the number of Latino people in the country. This is all the same brand of ethnic cleansing. And I think it's important to notice that these are all telling the same story. Something like the Supreme Court. I mean, I don't really understand what validity the Supreme Court has anymore. And maybe you can help me understand that at this point. Like, I don't know what that institution even means anymore. But it's all the same narrative. This is an effort to do as close to a full ethnic cleansing of Latino people as the Trump administration can get away with. And unfortunately, a lot of people are letting them get away with it.
On the Supreme Court thing briefly, it's such an interesting situation that they're in, and they're stuck in the situation of their own making. But like, they've actually ruled against Trump more times than any Supreme Court has ruled against any president since FDR. And so, okay, like, you know, it's not like they've given him everything, but across these key inflection points, a lot of times they keep giving him stuff. And it feels to me, as a cynical person, like John Roberts is like trying to navigate, like, you know, instead of caring about the law, it's like, which bones can we throw him, you know, in order to not create a showdown with Trump. And unfortunately for us and for them, like, the showdown with Trump is inevitable because they for some reason decided to grant him immunity powers a couple of years ago. And now here we are. And so I've done many rants about how I'm not surprised that somebody of your generation would have zero faith in the Supreme Court, because they've earned zero faith given, you know, the various things that have happened basically from Bush versus Gore all the way through now. So I don't know, but it doesn't. But that's kind of a bigger topic for me. Like, the more narrow point that you're making about what this administration is doing to target Latino people is extremely scary and alarming. And the amount of officers that they're about to scale up to, like, imagine as bad as it is now, imagine how it's going to be next year after they do a year of recruiting the most, you know, fucking psychotic people in the country who self volunteer to join ICE.
ICE has a bigger budget now than the Marines
and the Israeli military.
I didn't know that was possible. I didn't know you could have a bigger budget than they do. I thought that their budget was just a check mark with an infinity sign on it. I think when we were talking about ICE as Trump's private police force, we were forgetting the fact that it could also very well be his private military. Yeah. And with what we're talking about in Chicago right now, it's very clear Trump wants the Trump military. He wants a military that can be his to deploy as he sees fit. And if the red state governors want to send their own National Guard guys, all the better. But he wants to centralize his power as aggressively as possible. And ICE is just such an effective tool for him to use in order to enforce and to intimidate and to bully, because these guys are getting away with doing secret police shit. Like, I don't know what else to say here. Yeah.
Secret police shit is coming. And I guess you should be carrying your papers now. If you feel like you could possibly be suspicious, it is. And it's really, it's a dark place we are in the country. The good news is they always get it right. And they did, I should say, they did tear gas the one guy that was an American citizen who was, you know, working on the weed farm in California. They didn't do that. And, you know, they did send several people to a foreign concentration camp based only on their tattoos who hadn't done anything wrong. But, you know, hopefully going forward, they do everything right. So there is what's happening with the authoritarian right. I want to pick your brains. This is your area of expertise and what is happening with the commie left. This is just really the lefty shit poster is really kind of making me chuckle. It gets people under some people's skin, but I like to laugh at them. And here's a picture of Zohran with his arms around AOC and Bernie. And he writes a perfect afternoon in Astoria. Then we have this fellow who replies, Zohran smiling and hugging these two genocide supporters tells you everything you need to know about him. The left just cannot be happy. It's important to remember this. This is, and you might not like this advice, but if you are in the center left or you're a normie liberal and you're a liberal who wants a strong social safety net and you have a leftist insane person attacking you online because you didn't do enough, it's best just to ignore them because there's no way to make these people happy. These people want to be mad. Zohran, a 33-year-old DSA member, is about to be the mayor of New York, and they're still mad.
Well, there's also no better way to make the moderate center-left people mad than for someone like Zohran to win and for them to be like, oh, I'm a Democrat, but I'm not the Democrat kind of Democrat. I'm the whatever I want to see from the Democrats kind of Democrats. But no, this tweet that you sent me, I'm really glad I got to see it because I always say there's nothing more evil to a leftist than another leftist who only agrees with them on 99.8% of things.
Yes. That is the narcissism of small differences, what they call that in psychology.
The worst thing you can be to. And so there was a quote tweet of that tweet that was like, Zohran should join a new party of the 10 people who are as communist as I am. And it's something that I talk about in progressive politics all the time. It's like I've never seen a political movement with as many people who are willing to get up, fight, and ensure that even though we are the masses, we are also going to lose. That's what needs to happen. All the working people in this country need to band together and show the oligarchs that it's the working people who are the masses, but it's also the working people who are going to lose because this other working person is slightly different from me on this thing. And it's very important that we mention the fact that Bernie and AOC were called genocide supporters here, because Bernie and AOC are two of the only Democrats in the United States right now who have proven that they are not doing whatever, I think it's called AIPAC. I pronounced it incorrectly on our last episode. Mm. AIPAC, I believe it's called. There are two of the only Democrats in office right now showing that they are not beholden to AIPAC, and yet they're genocide supporters. Now, I think that it's because Bernie said something Zionist-y a couple years ago or something like that. Mm. He said something about Israel's right to defend itself or whatever, and AOC voted in favor of giving money to the Iron Dome, and that's what makes them genocide supporters. And Zohran, I guess, is just supposed to say that Bernie and AOC are too genocide for him. And therefore, he's going to take these people who have helped him win and say, no, guys. Sorry, I draw the line where you're at. It's so fucking embarrassing. And I personally think that every faction of every party has stuff like this. And I don't think it is completely a left-wing thing, but of course there's nothing leftists hate more than watching other leftists win. And yeah, it's cringe. And then, you know, listen,
it's the worst among the far left, and they have this in every single group, I think, but the far left does seem to be the worst about it, and they never want to say anything nice about Democrats. I mean, even like the far right lunatics that like get mad at the rhino squishes, like occasionally they want to cheer the Republicans just to make the liberals mad. You know,
it's just you, you don't know how to accept an ally if that ally is different from you on anything. Yeah. And you, there just comes a point where you need to understand that you are not going to see eye to eye with everybody you're working with. And that's not the point. And that's why you see people like far right Republicans and far left Democrats coming together to do good things like promote a congressional stock ban.
Right.
People in Congress should not be trading stocks, but it takes the far left and fucking who, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, to come together and say this needs to happen. Because the further and further you get from the establishment, the more willing you are to challenge it. And there's nothing more establishment that I could possibly think of than congressional stock trading. And the members of Congress in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, who we saw directly profiting off of the COVID lockdowns, which is utterly reprehensible. But
This is makes me think of something. I'm going to workshop something new live right now with you, Cam. I was trying to identify, because you know sometimes people get mad a little bit, like, well, as a leftist, the neoliberal corporate wing of the party has done bad things, and you know I think that your accusations of genocide start to ring a little hollow when like you're throwing that around at AOC, but like you know other people are complicit in genocide, so what am I supposed to do besides not criticize that? People are allowed to criticize everything. I am certainly not advocating here for like blue and on, you should just say everything the Democrats are doing is great. But I think that we're going to work on this as part of Tim's law, is like you can learn a lot about the person based on who they are the nastiest about when they post. Like for me, the person I'm the nastiest about when I post is JD Vance. Right. I think that's a very good person to be the nastiest about because he's extremely deserving of condemnation and anger. For you, it might be BB. I don't know. Maybe you have a different person.
No, it's Richie Torres.
Or Richie Torres. Okay, well, there you go. Richie is maybe not wouldn't be my choice, but you know.
Well, the difference is like BB will just outright say like, you know, I am a far right leader of a far right nationalist country. BB tweets about the deep state and how when a strong right-wing leader gets elected, it's the deep state that always tries to kneecap him. Richie Torres pretends to be progressive. And like, that is so much more offensive to me.
He's had a couple progressive things he's been progressive on. Okay, well, we'll just take it there. I'm not going to go on a side rant about Richie Torres. That's your choice. I think that it tells you a lot about somebody.
He also represents the poorest district in the country, by the way. Richie Torres, Google it. Poorest district in the United States, Richie Israel Torres. Sorry, what?
And he's done a lot. And I don't think you have any complaints about his record on economic issues. But my point is that if the person that you're the nastiest about on is like, I don't know, you know, Ezra, like the person that like makes you the most upset is like Kamala, like an inoffensive Democrat. Like I think it is reflecting of the fact that you are not actually trying to advance progressive goals. And what you're really trying to do is just be a nasty little bitch.
I like this law. I agree. I think that, listen, say what you want about Ezra.
Sure, or Kamala. Everybody deserves a little criticism.
But it's like, who's getting it the most from you, right?
Who's getting it the most from you?
And I think that that's great. One other thing on this subject that I really want to touch on, by the way, is this touches something important to me. And this is across the spectrum to the Zohran, AOC, Bernie thing with Zionism. I don't talk about Zionism. I talk about Israel. I talk about the state of Israel and I talk about Palestine. I don't talk about Zionism because I am convinced, as someone who knows a lot of Zionists and a lot of anti-Zionists, that almost every Zionist and anti-Zionist doesn't actually know what Zionism is. If you ask five Jews what Zionism means, you will probably get at least three different answers. There's spiritual Zionism. There's political Zionism. This is a message to everybody. If you can't tell me who Theodore Herzl is, and if you can't tell me what the Uganda scheme is, I don't care what you think about Zionism. If you hate Zionism, if you love Zionism, if you cannot tell me about the plan or the proposed plan in the early 1900s to move the Jewish people to British-occupied Africa, then I don't care what you think about Zionism because you don't know what it means. People will say like, oh, Zionist people, pro-Israel Zionist people will say, when these people are saying that Zionists are bad, what they really mean is Jews. But then anti-Zionist people will simultaneously say, no, Zionism and Judaism, those are two completely different things. And then other anti-Zionist people will say, no, it's the Jews. And it's become this really fucking confusing thing. And I'm just like, you know what? If you don't know the politics of it, if you don't know what Zionism is as a right-wing movement, just shut the fuck up about it. Say, I think Israel should be able to have the weapons, or I don't. That's so much clearer. So if you're calling fucking Zoran and AOC and Bernie like Zion, tell me your definition of the word before I am going to judge you on anything, because it sounds like it's going to be pretty fucking stupid. And that is my truth.
I love that rule, because I didn't know about a couple of the things that you just talked about. And so that absolves me from having to have an opinion on Zionism, which I really appreciate. Okay, I want to move on to a different topic here in the Gen Z space. We kind of just launder Zoran in to, like, Zoran counts as a Gen Z topic now, just so folks know when you're trying to decide what makes the FY Pod rundown. Anything Zoran.
Well, I said this on MSNBC recently. It's like, yeah, we talk about it a lot, but like, find me a better example of someone who was able to actually get Gen Z to vote for Democrats right now.
Exactly. So it's a merited topic for the Gen Z pod. Here is one that's more on the nose, though. NBC News Decision Desk has a poll out of Gen Z adults age 18 to 29. They asked, what do you consider important to a successful life? And it's an interesting question with some answers. I want to put up on screen here two groups in particular. Men who voted for Trump, what's important to a definition of success for them in Gen Z, and women who voted for Harris. At the top of men who voted for Trump, most important thing was having children. Second most was financial independence. Least most important, having emotional stability, which I get a kick out of. Okay, on the women's side of the ledger, fulfilling job, career, most important, having money to do things you want. Second most important, least important, being married, having children. Okay. I'm concerned about the youth, but you are a youth, and so I'd like your reactions first.
Young man, I want to have children and be married. I want that, but I don't want to do it if I'm not emotionally stable. And the thing that's concerning to me about how low men are prioritizing emotional stability at my age is because I think that they actually think they're stable. I think that's why the priority is so low. Mm. I don't think they're thinking like, oh, getting emotionally stable is not at the top of my priorities. I think that they think they already are. And that is what's terrifying to me, because I assure you, it doesn't take an expert on any matters to tell you that Gen Z men are anything but emotionally stable right now. But they're going on TikTok and they're hearing that, you know, if you're angry right now, you're probably doing fine. And that's very concerning. But, you know, with young women, I think their priorities are right on the money, you know, or young women who voted for Harris, priorities right on the money. Get emotionally stable so your kids don't have to pay the price. Am I wrong?
You are. I think you're wrong. I'm pretty alarmed, but I just want to say before I get into the women, because most of the listeners are going to agree with you. So that's fine. You can have that. I know you like it when the commenters agree with you. Commenters, tell me how right Cam is and how wrong I'm about to be. I'm fine. I can take it. I'm a big boy. But I do just want to caveat. I concur with you that there's something deeply broken about the men who voted for Trump, that the least important thing to having to being successful is having emotional stability. And I think that tells you a lot about these men. And I think many of them will probably be divorced because of their lack of emotional stability. On the women's side, though, man, I think this is pretty dark about our culture, actually. I think that we're in a bad place if you define personal success as fulfilling job, career, having the money to do the things you want, financial independence, having no debt, owning a home, all of that is more important to you for success than being married and having kids. I mean, being married and having kids isn't for everybody. I get that. And I wouldn't push people into it that shouldn't be into it. But I feel like our society is sending bad messages to young women about some of this stuff. If this is where they're landing about it, like, being married and having kids is extremely fulfilling and valuable. We're social creatures. Some people live a fulfilling single life. I get that. But like, humans generally There's something especially fulfilling about procreating, about having kids, about being responsible for something else. And the idea that you have to wait to have a fulfilling job and career, this is like a very new modern thing. I mean, pretty much, I would say probably 99.9% of humans that have ever been born in the history of the world were born to people who were not financially stable at the time they were born. But the idea that you should wait for financial stability to have kids, I understand that makes it easier to have kids, and it's nice to have easy things, but it's also nice to grow together and have challenges and overcome them. And I don't know, man. So I think this feels very, I feel like some of the priorities are misaligned. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, I'm going to remove myself from this equation because I am the fucking best. But just besides me, okay. If I was Gen Z women seeing the way dudes were acting right now, I would 1,000,000% be focused on being independent, because the men that Gen Z women are stuck with are fucking maniacs. And we can't read. We don't have jobs. Are you seeing the college graduation rates between men and women right now? The literacy rates between men and women right now? Women are successful. Women are doing great things in school, and they are charting their own path forward. They don't fucking need us anymore. Like, that's social progression. That's what happens. They've figured out how to live their own fucking lives without needing some dick like me to tell them what to do. And I think that's great. I mean, I think that they should still want to be with me, Cameron Caskey specifically, and get married soon.
Sure.
But there's only one me. That's so true. Once they're
I don't know,
that.
Man. Here's the thing. I had a running joke in DC in the 2000s. So this would have been before any of the terrible Gen Z men were around. And it was the only eligible bachelors in town are either gay or Peter Hamby. Shout out my friend Peter Hamby.
Who's Peter Hamby?
Peter did find out, which is my buddy. He's has a podcast for Puck now. And he's been locked down. Sorry, ladies. Just had a baby, actually. But I think this is always true. Like, 20-year-old dudes are fucking dicks. I don't know. I mean, sure, there might be a different, a special flavor of it now with Gen Z dudes. I'm not telling what I do not misinterpret me. I'm not like, women, you should go into a relationship with a fucking douchebag or somebody that abuses you or is emotionally abusive or is gaslighting you or is a Trump supporter even. But like, I don't know, man, there are a lot of soft boys out there that are shy and are scared to, like, you know, ask girls out on dates because they're playing. And like, maybe give it a try. I don't know. Kick the tires.
Dude,
get
go
out
ask
there.
Her on a date.
Go Gates.
Like, just yeah, like, just because we're too fucking pussy to go up and talk to somebody doesn't mean it's their job to come up and talk to us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I guess. I'm just saying, like, the idea that owning a home is more of something that would be a marker of success for you than, like, having a family. I just feel
well, where are you
going to
put
me,
the
man.
Family?
You could rent. There's not half the country rents. Over half the country rents. I rented until I was in my 30s. My parents fucking rented when they had me. Like, this is like this idea that you have to be able to buy a house. It's so capitalist.
Like,
it's so funny. It's like the libs now have gone full capitalist. It's like, you got to be able to buy a house. I was like, you sound like a 1980s Republican. You got to be able to fucking buy a house and put money into your 401k and be able to buy some things for yourself before you have a child.
Saying I
Why?
Want the other women I want the other women at church to respect me, and if you have a problem with that, you can go confess.
I'm concerned, that's all. Young ladies, I'm concerned. We're two guys mansplaining about it. I'm having a girl on the Daily Pod this week to tell me why I'm an asshole, so I'm gonna do that. That's coming later in the week.
Former FY podcast who I DM all the time, Tara Hoops, congratulations again on your wedding. We're happy for you.
Shout out Tara Hoops. Okay, we have a couple other topics. Should we do Dubai, or do we want to wait? Or do we want to wait till save that one? Do you want to save Dubai?
We'll do it real quick. A law student got arrested for drugs on vacation in Dubai. And I told Tim I wanted to talk about this just because I wanted to issue a travel warning to anybody who sees videos on TikTok of Dubai, that if you're going to go to a country, look up the country first.
Yeah.
Because if you think you can do coke in the UAE, you're going to go to prison for 25 years. And those are not prison. Nobody wants to be in any prison. You don't want to be in those prisons. And countries like UAE are promoting themselves on TikTok aggressively. Like, if you only knew about Dubai from the videos that the TikTok algorithm puts out, like, you'd think it was heaven. You'd think it was the coolest thing in the entire world. Go to Mall of America if you want a big mall. And if you want a nicer mall, go to fucking Boca Raton, Florida. But like, I feel terrible for this woman. Nobody deserves to see what hells she's going to find in the inside of a UAA prison for 25 years. But don't just go places with drugs and assume that that's going to go well for you, especially places with those types of human rights records. Tim?
Yes. I couldn't agree more. Also, by the way, gays, you know, not a great idea to go to many of these countries as well. You know, if you're going to go into the dark room and at a bar in Saudi Arabia or the UAE, you might be headed to a different type of dark room for the rest of your life. So that's something for you to consider.
Gays don't go anywhere except for Berlin and Tulum. I don't know if you'd heard.
I'll say this, man. This ties to another worrying thing I see on TikTok. Like, there's a popular trend that is driven by, there's a lot of young people who out there who are very upset at the government of Israel, as we've discussed, and our government, for good reason. A lot of things to complain about both those countries. But the concerning thing that I've seen on the content space is that it has yielded this like kind of reverse thing where influencers are like, here I am in Kabul. And boy, they're like, things aren't that, everyone's so nice to me here, actually, in Kabul. And you're seeing this in China, TikTok as well, for obvious reasons. You've seen this a little bit with Moscow, people going to Moscow to do the stuff.
Tucker Carlson going to Moscow.
Yeah, you see this. Like, oh, that's this. Tucker's not Gen Z. You see that with Tucker, but you see the Gen Z version of this. You see this a lot now, in as you're mentioning, in the Middle Eastern countries. And I'm just telling you, there are a lot of bad countries out there. You might have fair complaints with Bibi and Donald Trump. I will share most of them. But that does not mean that you should be glorifying what the regimes of the kind of Sharia law oil dictators or the fucking other fascists throughout the world.
Just be smart.
Just do a little research.
You take a look at what's going on in Burkina Faso. I saw lefty people. And when I say lefty, I mean like lefty, like not even real politics lefty.
Way left. Just like Zohran is too much of a squish
like,
for
like
me.
Zohran is a Zionist genocide supporter lefty. Right, people on Twitter, but a number of them tweeting about how Burkina Faso, yes, they made it so you can get thrown in prison for being gay, but this is a good thing because they are being anti-colonial right now. There's a lot of countries in Africa that kicked out the French, and what the French have done in Africa and what the French have done to Haiti. If you want to fucking hate France, look up Haiti and the CFA franc, the financial system that they a lot of countries have rejected Western colonialism and have kicked these people out. And that has made a lot of very far left people real friendly to shit like the Belt and Road Initiative that China does. And it's made them say, oh, when Russia comes in and sends fucking Wagner troops here to fight with France, that means Russia's good because they're fighting the bad. It's the same thing Tim was just saying. Two things can be true. Like, just because these colonial powers are bad doesn't mean these other colonial powers aren't bad. Like, why is shit only imperialism when you say it's imperialism? But then the other imperialism is fine because I like that they are in line with a certain zine that I read that was handed to me while I was in college. Anyway, before we go, we're running out of time.
Final topic, though. I want to set it up. You're in a suit right now. I assume that's because you're kind of forming an exploratory committee. You're looking at things. People are talking about you possibly as a potential candidate for public office. Tell us more about that.
A lot of people are having a lot of very interesting conversations about some very exciting things, and there's nothing that I could do about that. It's out of my control. I don't know if people saw Harry Sisson tweeted out, run Cam run. And I'm literate, I can read, and I know the credibility that is attached to the Sissonian name. I'm not gonna not think about these things. But I want to talk about a tweet that I saw that said, who y'all got in NY12? Jerry Nadler is pulling a reverse Joe Biden and stepping down before he turns 1,000 years old, and New York City is very grateful to be represented with somebody by somebody with that integrity. And some people have thrown their names in the hashtag NY12 poll that I'm looking at right now. We've got Jack Schlossberg when he had hair, Chelsea Clinton. Do you know Chelsea, the one who had Ghislaine Maxwell at her wedding?
Yeah.
Lena Khan.
She is the child of Hillary Clinton. Lena Khan. I should mention, I had Lena Khan on the pod last week. Great conversation. Charming. Very charming. Me and her aren't totally aligned on our politics, but I was really charmed by her. And she's obviously extremely smart. And she said she wasn't going to be running. But anyway, in this poll, they did put her name in.
Yeah. And then they put me. And somebody quote tweeted it with our most attractive Democratic primary TBH. So I want to say, first of all, thank you. Second of all, so that picture of me is from a photo shoot that I did for a pro-choice organization that was advocating for women to be able to do what they need to with their bodies and making their medical decisions. And I was holding a little thing that said like, abortion is healthcare or something like that. I was holding like a pañuelo that said abortion is healthcare. And all of the people at the photo shoot, they asked me to do it. I was like, of course, I'll totally go. All the people at the photo shoot were women and they were smiling with it and looking very positive and upbeat and everything. But I felt like if I was holding up like an abortion is freedom thing and I was like, hey,
it would kind of be smile like, for you.
Like I was twisting the knife for these women and being like, ha 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 ha, fuck you. I'm taking your rights away. So I ended up making it kind of like,
hey, I'm happy that you're aborting the child.
But I didn't want to look mad. I didn't want to look like I wasn't happy to be there. I was very proud to be there and to be sharing my platform. So I ended up just doing this vacuous stare. Looks like somebody had thrown a sack over my head and kidnapped me and thrown me right there and just pulled it off. I was like looking around for the first time like, huh?
You do look handsome there for you. So maybe you should do the vacuous stare more. Doing face, you know, faces is important. People don't think about this as in the content space, but you do have to be conscious of your face. When I interviewed Bannon, I was very conscious of this because I was like, I don't want it to seem like we're too chummy, you know what I mean? Or that we're too angry. Like I just, you know, sometimes you got to like find the right face.
You're in political comms. I'm sure you saw 1,000 pictures of politicians you worked with who like you wish would have been making a slightly different face.
Yeah. In the moment. So there it is. Yeah. Well, it's kind of a thought picture for you. You didn't tell us who won the poll. What was the results? Do we know?
Last I checked, I was winning by a lot.
Wow.
You know, listen.
The people have spoken. Was it now? Is this a scientific poll of new NY12 or was this a poll of Gen Z Twitter influencers?
Here's what I know.
Okay.
I know that I love New York City.
Yeah.
And I know that in the face of authoritarianism, New York City deserves a fighter, and I hope New York City could find a fighter who is strong and taller than 5'9", and who really cares. And I hope they can find someone who is so good at reaching across the aisle that he literally works with woke neocons. With Bulwark Pod, I'm Cam Caskey. Thanks for tuning in.
And I'm Tim Miller.
And I approve this message.
Slay!
Yeah.